Radio Max in Takrani, ATL FM, Cape Coast, Volta Premier Home, Radio Justice Tamale, Jakpa FM, Wipe, KTU Radio, Koforidia, Sky in Sunyani, Dreams in Bolgatanga, and Radio Max Takrani. This afternoon, the government failed to adequately prepare for the rainy season.
We found out that the account fund, the only emergency fund that this republic has been garnished by a high court order.
How?
Simple put, you can't access that money. I don't know how it happened.
We asked the big question, plus hear from experts on what went wrong with our preparation against the floods. Also on the media budget this afternoon, education economist demands accountability for infrastructure development at the basic level as he expresses doubt the double track system can end in 2027 as indicated by the finance minister.
Transforming secondary education and eliminating the double track.
It's not realistic. We should be estimating that double track would be ending somewhere around 2030 and not 2027.
Also, get ready. Your next bottle of beer, wine, or spirits could cost more under new excise tax changes announced in yesterday's media budget review. Health advocates say the higher prices will curb harmful alcohol consumption and reduce pressure on health facilities treating non-communicable diseases.
Government will introduce a hybrid excise system combining value-based and quantity-based taxation for wines and spirits.
And in other news, management of Oxford No. 1 Hotel dismisses claims that a receiver appointed by Kola Holdings Limited has taken over the property, insisting the hotel remains under its control. We have details, plus bring you the situation at the facility this afternoon. These and more with me, Mamusi Nyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. Well, this afternoon, as pressure mounts over government's handling of this year's floods, Finance Minister Dr. Kesiel Attoforsen says a major legal and financial setback undermined the country's disaster response. On PM Express, the minister revealed that the 350 million cedis approved by Parliament for emergency flood relief could not be assessed because Ghana's Constitutional Contingency Fund had been frozen under a High Court Ganshi order. The comments come even as communities continue to count the cost of devastating floods.
As Minister of Finance, you should be able to have emergency money as and when, because you can't prepare a budget for the year without anticipating that something unforeseen, for example, may have happened or will happen. And so the contingency vote has 361 million in that account. That is for the control of the Minister of Finance, and you inform Parliament how you use it. Now, when the unfortunate incident happened, His Excellency the President directed that I should go to Parliament and ask Parliament to release 350 million Ghana cedis for disaster mitigation and flood mitigation. Really. Now, I went to Parliament and Parliament, the Finance Committee of Parliament, did approve it, gave me a letter that I can access that money to be paid into the disaster management committee's account to fix the situation that we found ourselves, the flooding. Unfortunately, when I got that approval and instructed the controller and accountant general to transfer same to the disaster management committee, we found out that the account, the constitutional fund, the only emergency fund that this republic has been garnished by a high court order.
How?
Simple put, you can't access that money. I don't
when
know
when did this happen and why?
I don't know how it happened, but I protested.
Well, the minister has also accused the previous administration of diverting resources under the Greater Accra Resilient and Integrated Development GARID project away from flood mitigation, claiming funds intended to tackle the flooding were instead spent on luxury workshops.
Why should I be borrowing and be spending on conferences, on
is that what the GARID budget?
That is what it was. That
flood
was
mitigation.
That's it. That is
for.
How it was used for. And I don't have my bank here. I would have shown you some of the things they used the money for, the details of what this money was used for. So when we took office, we flagged the usage. And I've been seeing requests for drawdown, and I ask, what have they been using this money for?
And that's Finance Minister Atu Forson. Well, let's get more on the data on the level of preparedness of floods in the country. Stephen Mensah joins me in studio with more on this. Stephen, what have you been learning?
Well, Mami, the contingency fund is established under Article 177 of Ghana's 1992 Constitution, and it's meant to cater for urgent and unforeseen expenditure where no provision exists in the annual budget. The most recent major example was during the COVID-19 pandemic, when Parliament approved an advance of about 1.204 billion Ghana cedis to support the government's coronavirus alleviation program. However, it's important to distinguish the contingency fund from the contingency vote. The contingency vote forms part of the annual appropriation bill and allows government to deal with critical and unforeseen expenditure during budget implementation without having to return to Parliament for approval each time. Well, according to the finance minister, the 350 million Ghana cedis released for flood relief was drawn from the contingency vote and not the contingency fund. Governments therefore turned to the contingency vote to provide the funds needed for relief and flood mitigation.
All right. Thank you very much for that information. Well, the minority is disputing the finance minister's account. Former Deputy Finance Minister Abnaw Seyasari says government is attempting to shift blame instead of accepting responsibility for this year's economic and infrastructure challenges. She spoke on the Super Morning Show.
That you are revising from 227 billion to 229 billion based on the 6 or 7 revenue tax handles that you introduced, that you said you were going to implement to make sure you increase that number. So that is one thing I'm talking about here. And then the next thing is when you come to the numbers, a shortfall of about 5 billion over there in revenues. But then when you come to your expenditure, one thing, apart from compensation of employees where they did over and above the target, nothing, no revenue handle, apart from the expenditure, the compensation that they went over and above and grants to other government units, every revenue and expenditure line item did not meet its target. And for me, he said that they were spending in the right places. If you were spending in the right places, how come you voted to spend 21 billion in capital expenditure?
You heard their former Deputy Finance Minister Abnaw Seyasari earlier on the Super Morning Show. Well, let's cross over now to my colleague Maxwell Lakbakma, who is accompanying the Anti-Flood Tax Force on an inspection tour. So Maxwell, where has the tax force been and what have they found?
Well, the tax force has been to some parts of the Greater Accra region, specifically at the Tessa Dam area, very close to the boundary road that is in the East Legon area, where the team found that some developers had constructed illegal retaining walls and other unauthorized structures. There's also the indiscriminate dumping of plastic waste and other debris, which has caused heavy siltation of the dam and the drainage channel within that area, increasing, you know, East Legon and its environs to the risk of flooding. So what the Anti-Flood Task Force has been doing today is to demolish those unauthorized structures that have decreased the passageway, for the drains, and also start the dredging process for the channel, and then also for the Tessa Dam. So as I speak to you, dredging for the Tessa Dam, it's ongoing, and demolition of unauthorized structures just around area very close to East Legon is also ongoing. We've been speaking to the head of the Anti-Flood Task Force. He's been speaking to us and giving us updates on the situation.
All right, Maxwell, we'll bring you, we'll play that insert shortly. But are there timelines when these dredging and then demolition are going to be completed?
Well, we've been speaking to the Works and Housing Minister, who is also on the ground. And he said that per the marching orders of the president, this is going to continue all year round. So we're going to witness an all year round silting of drains. And then also, we're going to see an all-year-round demolition of structures built around waterways. So the exercise, which is ongoing around the Tessa Dam area, we are told will be replicated in different parts of the capital. Yesterday, we're told that they were around the Ojarifa area. They were also around the Chado area. And today, they're continuing here around the Tessa Dam area, very close to East Legon. So he says that per the marching orders of the president, there's going to be an all-year-round silting and dredging to mitigate the impact of flooding here in the capital Accra.
And Maxwell, just before I let you off, you know, some of these exercises are going to affect residents in those areas. Have there been adequate measures made to ensure that they are able to move from those areas?
Well, the team leading this and spearheading this is the military. Before the structures were demolished, there was actually a briefing for residents urging them to cooperate and then also explaining the situation to them and why it is necessary for this dredging and demolition exercise to go on. What I'm told is that arrangements are going to be made to mitigate, you know, the impact of this exercise on residents, Bamisi.
All right, Maxwell, thank you very much for that update. Moving on, government yesterday indicated in the mid-year budget presentation, according to the finance minister, Dr. Kassia Latuforsin, a $300 million World Bank-backed program is expected to expand senior high school infrastructure. He also mentioned over 6.7 billion cedis in education-related spending, including funding for free senior high school Get Fund capitation grants, BEC registration, tertiary students and teacher trainee allowances.
Transforming secondary education and eliminating the double track. Mr. Speaker, the government of Ghana remains, the education remains one of the most powerful investments we can make in the future of our country. Government is therefore taking bold steps to transform secondary education through a $300 million United States dollar World Bank financing. Mr. Speaker, under this $300 million United States dollar World Bank financing initiative, government will undertake 210 major infrastructure interventions across the country. These include, Mr. Speaker, we are building 10 new secondary schools. Right, Honorable Speaker, we will rehabilitate 150 secondary schools. Mr. Speaker, we are upgrading 30 Category C secondary schools to become a Category B school. Mr. Speaker, aside, we are also upgrading 20 Category B schools to be part of Category A.
Well, reacting, the Executive Director of the Institute for Education Studies, IFEST, Dr. Peter Antipati, expressed doubts about the pronouncements, indicating an effective roadmap has not been put in place to ensure a successful transition.
The West Bank facility is a very good intervention at this time of secondary education. But the unfortunate news is that the government roadmap seems not to be realistic because the facility was approved just this month. We know how our procurement processes and other things go. And so targeting 2027 to end the whole chart based solely on the strategy project, which is the West Bank facility, is not realistic. We think that the project plan itself puts the end of the project to 2030. And so we should be estimating that double track would be ending somewhere around 2030 and not 2027. It is not going to be feasible to end double track by next year if the sole source of funding is the SAGI project, which is the World Bank facility.
We'll cross over to Parliament shortly on the debate on the budget review, but consumers of beer, wine, spirits and other alcoholic beverages could soon pay more as new excise tax reforms announced in the review takes effect. Public Health Advocacy Group VASD Ghana says the changes are a major victory in its campaign to reduce harmful consumption while strengthening tax administration. From the health desk, Adobe Asari reports.
Public Health Advocacy Group VASD Ghana has welcomed welcomed the changes, saying government's decision to replace the current ad valorem tax with a hybrid system combining value-based and specific taxes is a major step towards reducing harmful alcohol consumption and strengthening tax administration.
The excise duty bill before this House introduced a comprehensive package of reforms to close these leakages. So, Speaker, we will crack down this leakage. Right, Honourable Speaker, specifically, government will introduce a hybrid excise system combining value-based and quantity-based taxation for wines and spirits to eliminate persistent undervaluation and misclassification and ensure a minimum level of tax is paid regardless of the declared value. Mr. Speaker, we will review the existing sliding scale excise rates for beer and stout product to better align them with government revenue objectives while preserving the incentive for local production.
Well, in studio with me is Anthony Maino, data analyst, to tell us more about this. Anthony, what is the finance minister trying to address with this proposed tax reform?
So basically the finance minister is saying that we are losing a lot of revenue because most imported wines and spirits are not paying excise duties. According to him, between 2023 and 2025, the country imported over 5 billion worth of these products, mm-hmm. but about 78% of them escaped these taxes. So he's introducing these measures to actually curb that.
So this proposal, how is it going to change anything?
So government is actually introducing a hybrid excise tax system, mm-hmm. For wines and spirits.
Right.
So instead of taxing imports only based on their value, of course, according to him, some of the importers bring in the wine, mm-hmm. and then decrease its value in order to pay a lower tax. Now the importers will also pay a fixed tax-based quantity,
right.
Such as per liter. So the idea is to prevent importers from understating the value of the product to reduce the tax bills that they are already paying. This means that even if an importer declares a low cost, they will still pay the quantity-based tax in addition.
Thank you so much, Anthony Maino. Let's go over now to Parliament, where my colleague Kweku Asante is standing by. Kweku, we understand a debate has already started on the review. Tell us more about it.
Yes, the debate will start today. It's expected to start today. Proceedings was to begin at 12 noon. It's 12:18. The Speaker hasn't gavelled the House in session yet. But when MPs take their seats and the Speaker proceeds with business today, the first order of business will be to go into the debate on the media. We'll hear from the NPP and the NDC on what they make of the statement from the finance minister. Yesterday, both parties gave an indication of what they think about it, from the floor to the press conferences outside of the chamber. All of that is to give a certain indication of what the expectations of both sides were prior to the finance minister delivering, and then ultimately, after doing so, what they made of it. Tomorrow, Saturday, Parliament will still sit and continue the debate on this before they wrap it up next Monday. So any moment from now, when proceedings begin, they'll get into the debates on the media budget review.
Right. Thank you very much, Kweku Asante from Parliament. Now, the minister has also clarified the disagreement between the Ministry of Finance and the Ministry of Food and Agriculture over funds released for agriculture interventions, insisting that the confusion was due to a misunderstanding between releases and actual cash payments. The issue followed disclosure by the Deputy Finance Minister on how much had been released to the Agri Ministry for goods and services and capital expenditure. Now, on PM Express with Evan Spencer, Dr. Arthur Forson explained that about 1.6 billion cedis captured in his presentation represented actual cash payments made of the releases for interventions, including fertilizer, irrigation, seed distribution, feed and buffer stock.
Let me clarify something. My deputy minister's pronouncement relates to releases. Releases are different from payment. For example, you may have goods and services release of, say, 300 million. At the Ministry of Finance, I will have to release it to a sector ministry. The sector ministry will have to go through the process of accessing the money through the GIFMES platform. Payment is transfer from the consolidated fund of the Republic of Ghana. So the consolidated fund, I may give you a release letter, but that release letter may not have turned to cash yet. We need to go through some process before it becomes cash. what I reported relate to cash and not releases.
Does that mean then that the finance ministry was right when they said that as of 29th May 2026, they had only received 244 million, which is just 12% of what they were entitled, which I believe was 1.9 billion.
Okay, so let me put it this way. Let me give a typical example. If you want to attend some conferences and it is part of your goods and services and you request the Ministry of Finance to release to you, you will have to upload the invoices and address on the system for the approval of the controller and accountant general. Until that activity happens, the money will not come and has not.
Although you have released it.
Although we have released it.
Finance Minister Dr. Kasiel Atufosin there. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 89.7 FM. We'll take a break. When we return, management of Oxford No. 1 Hotel dismisses claims that a receiver appointed by Kola Holdings Limited has taken over the property, insisting the hotel remains under its control. We have details plus bring you the situation at the facility. Welcome back to the Midday News. Now, management of Oxford No. 1 Hotel has dismissed reports that the facility had been taken over by a receiver appointed by Kola Holdings Limited, insisting that the hotel remains in the possession and control of Kensington Residential Partners 1 Limited. In a statement issued on Thursday, management said the hotel continues to operate under the authority of its directors and management. Despite that assertion, there's currently police presence at the premises with an inscription written on the wall reading, quote, possession taken by court order, end quote. Before we bring you details of that statement, Fatal Bayaga visited the facility and has filed this report.
This huge and beautiful building around the Osu runabout, known as the No. 1 Oxford Street Hotel and owned by businessman and politician Nana Kwame Bediakun, popularly known as Cheddar, is currently at the center of a legal battle after the commercial division of the Accra High Court recognized and enforced a ruling by an English court ordering its owners to hand it over to a receiver appointed by Kola Holdings Limited, a UK-based firm. This follows a loan allegedly taken from the company by a firm associated with Cheddar to finance the construction of the building. In court, the receiver, Ni Amanododu, prayed to the court that he needed police assistance order in order to take over the building. The trial judge, Justice Faraday Junction, granted the plea and asked the police to assist the receiver in taking over the building. As I speak with you, there are some police officers stationed outside or at the premises of the building, ensuring that it is secured by this particular court order. And it's boldly written on the building that possession taken by a court order on the 23rd of July 2026. Reporting for Joy News from the Oxford Street here in Accra, I'm Fatal Bayaga.
Well, Fatal joins me in studio with more on the statement released by the management of the hotel yesterday. Fatal, tell us more.
Well, Mr. The statement said the dispute escalated after Kola Holdings Limited secured a High Court order on July 21, 2026, appointing a receiver to take possession of the hotel. However, management maintained that although the order authorizes the Ghana Police Service to assist with enforcement, it does not take effect until 7 days after it was granted. The management said it has instructed its lawyers to appeal the decision and seek an injunction restraining Kola Holdings Limited and the appointed receiver from taking possession of the hotel pending the determination of the appeal. It added that two earlier applications filed by Kola Holdings Limited had been dismissed by the High Court and remain under appeal.
Thank you, Fatal Bayaga. Now, the New Patriotic Party in the Ashanti region has announced plans to mobilize supporters for a mass visit to Bernard Entebbe Circle, popularly known as Chairman Wuntumi, at the Nsawam prison. The supporters say the visit is intended to demonstrate their solidarity with the party's regional chairman. Nanaya Ajima has more.
The party organized a press conference after closed-door meeting with flag bearer Dr. Mahamud Baumia. Bernard Entebbe Osiako, the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the NPP, has been sentenced to 20 years imprisonment with hard labor by the Accra High Court after being found guilty of illegally permitting unlicensed mining operations on his company's concession at Samra Boy in the Western Region. We will organize buses and go to Nsawem to visit him. From there, we will hold a candlelight procession to express our dissatisfaction with the government. According to the party, Mr. Nchibu Osiako is being treated unfairly by the government and the judicial system. The acting chairman indicated that if the government is dedicated to fight against illegal mining, there is a need to prosecute all persons involved in such activities.
If the fight against illegal mining is genuine and non-partisan, then all persons and companies found culpable, irrespective of their political affiliations, should be investigated and prosecuted in accordance with the law. Justice must be fair, balanced, and applied equally to all citizens.
The MPP has further directed supporters to remain calm and stay united against any attempt to break the party's front.